Welcome to another episode of Startup Health Now, the weekly show celebrating the healthcare transformers and changemakers who are reimagining healthcare. I'm Stephen Krein.
I'm Unity Stokes.
And on today's episode, we're going to spend time with Jeff Blackwood and Kelly Kearns from AB Pathfinder, a software solution for autism therapy. We're going to have a great episode.
Stick around.
It is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. Well, I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our immense difficulties, now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, the courage. The future is to those who take it.
Welcome back to Startup Health Now. We are sitting here with Jeff Blackwood and Kelly Kearns from AB Pathfinder. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
So we just ended a two-day healthcare transformer summit. You guys are startup health companies, healthcare transformers. Really excited to spend time with you this morning and talking about how you're really transforming autism therapy.
Yeah, we appreciate it. It's been a great couple of days, very intense, but really getting back to the core of what we're doing as entrepreneurs. So we appreciate you guys having us here.
So let's start. What problem are you solving at AB Pathfinder? Give the audience sort of a perspective or a lens into what is going on with autism therapy.
Sure.
And the problem you're solving.
Yeah, it's a pretty intense problem, actually. Right now, because of the CDC estimates of 1 in 68 kids, not many people do the math to understand what that means. But right now, there's 60,000 kids that are going to be diagnosed with autism this year. That's more than the combined numbers of kids that are going to get diagnosed with childhood cancer, diabetes, and AIDS combined. So it's really just this overwhelming surge of kids that are coming into the need for working with pediatricians, working with therapists, trying to help them with autism as a disorder. And it's overwhelming families, overwhelming therapists. And that's kind of where we came into play, is we're here to work with the therapists to try and help them deal with this tidal wave of kids that are coming into it.
Well, and autism can be diagnosed very early, as early as 18 months to 2 years. Children can start receiving services. The primary service that is used in autism therapy is called applied behavior analysis. That's where the AB comes from our name. And those services can start very, very early on, very intense, 20, 30, 40 hours a week even sometimes. But our software actually allows the therapist to take the therapy from childhood all the way into early adulthood, because we're completely curriculum agnostic. You can take any set of skills, and because of that, you can put in things like job skills and job transition or early living, independent living skills.
So it's software for the therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's software for the patient. And for the family?
Well, it's really just primarily for the therapist.
Okay.
Because it takes their processes of you know, given a child, each child is very individualized, they have their own set of challenges that they're working with. The therapists have to plan out, what am I going to do with this child from a therapy perspective? Once they get that plan in place, they then send that out to frontline people that are actually working one-on-one with the kids, performing therapy on things as simple as, you know, what color is the shirt, blue, taking data on each of those elements. And so they're collecting data, and then once they get that data, it's all of those little individual points that can be hundreds of points per day that they then have to graph and aggregate so that they can see what kind of progress this child is making. All of that today is done on paper and pencil.
Okay, so that's the alternative right now.
Just
be paper and pen.
Absolutely.
And then your software.
Absolutely. Paper and pencil is our biggest competitor. So
amazing.
The sales conversation starts with...
It's a tough company, though.
Right.
Well, so people like it. It's easy, right? So
it's the ultimate flexible tool, right? Yeah. So how do you compare with that? Well, right now, there's really an inevitability about the fact that technology is going to come to ABA therapy. For one, it's just a perfect candidate for automation because it is so formalized. I mean, there's a very discrete process. And if you really look at it, ABA therapy is evidence-based. It's your perfect Deming cycle, right? So you collect your data, you analyze your data, you graph your data, and then you use those data to make decisions for tomorrow's plan. And you can't do all of that. You can, but it's all up here and it's all manual when it's on paper. You're flipping through a three-ring binder as opposed to having those data right at your fingertips and being able to easily analyze them and make decisions.
So who are you going in and selling this solution to then? Which organization?
So
who in the organization?
We kind of have three customer profiles. We have independent BCBAs, board certified behavior analysts. A lot of times they'll be working in the homes directly with children, typically 10, 15 kids that they provide in-home services to. Autism therapy centers, which are kind of like specialized daycare centers. I mean, that's how long this therapy takes. Mm-hmm. These kids go there, they can be there for 5 to 8 hours a day. And they're given individualized therapy while they're there. So those typically have a couple BCBAs that lead the therapy and do the programming, and then they'll have frontline therapists that actually conduct the therapy. And then school systems. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, we've actually had some people tell us that the school systems today is actually the largest provider of healthcare in the United States.
Yeah.
And you know, teachers,
a lot of people don't realize that.
Teachers are really ill-equipped for that. They don't understand the fact that they can be required to follow HIPAA procedures. They haven't been taught those things. They're coming at it from an education standpoint, and they're, you know, well-intentioned. They want to help these kids. Our software can help them formalize the processes and make sure that they're doing all the things that they need to be doing. The interesting thing about the education market is that education itself is going through transformation right now. And we're starting to see things like No Child Left Behind and IDEA start to fall away a little bit. And we're starting to understand that these kids actually can achieve good outcomes. So they're moving from just a compliance model where they're checking boxes to really trying to teach these kids and make them successful.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, so therapists use the software. How's the outcome any different than using pen and paper, right?
Well, so we did a study with University of Kansas researchers, a small pilot study a couple years ago that showed it. We were essentially really just going to measure time savings, and we did see time savings.
That was your initial idea.
Yeah,
to focus on that.
The interesting thing though is the software actually improved communication among the frontline therapists and the lead therapists themselves. And what we saw as a result is kids were actually achieving mastery criterion. In other words, saying that yes, they understand how, you know, the color blue, or they understand what a pen is, those sorts of things. Actually got that about 20% faster. So we're seeing improved outcomes for the kids as a result of this. We're actually in the middle of another study right now that's going to codify where those improvements are coming from.
Fantastic.
But you know, we're hypothesizing it's from better communication from the staff, but also increased quality of therapy delivery because the frontline therapists, frankly, have a better tool available to them.
Sure.
More consistency as well.
Are the parents noticing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, often parents are involved as frontline therapists themselves. But when you look at it from a information about how my child is performing, rather than picking up a three-ring binder to see how their kid is doing, they can just log on, see how the kid's doing on graphs or through notes that they can exchange with therapy teams themselves.
Well, this was an area that we kind of struggled with philosophically when we were starting the company, because you absolutely have to acknowledge the importance of the parent in the therapy setting. I mean, the parent is the person that's there 24 hours a day. But from the very beginning, our motto was that we were not going to take the therapist out of the therapy. So we built a tool for therapists to use. So we're not making decisions for that therapist. We're not enabling the parent to go do it without the therapist, but we have seen a lot of our customers engage the parents as frontline data collectors, because the parent is right there in real time observing the behavior, observing the skill acquisition. So we still work with the therapist who's doing the programming and building the curriculum for this child, and then the parents executing it as part of a larger therapy team.
So you mentioned the inevitability of technology sort of coming in as a solution. How long does this take? Is this over the next few years, or, you know, what do the next few look like?
Absolutely love to know that answer.
Yeah.
you know, there are a lot of factors that are playing into it. As autism therapy and as legislation is coming into play requiring autism insurance coverage, the insurance companies are starting to see some of the challenges that they have with getting paper documents from, you know, 10 different centers. You're going to get 10 different formats of documents coming in. So the insurance companies are looking at this from the perspective of how do we streamline our claims processing for it. So there is actually an insurance company in California that has mandated that therapy centers that are working with them use technology. We're in discussions with that insurance company right now. I think as there becomes more maturity in healthcare insurance dealing with autism, that's going to start a domino effect of other companies requiring that as well.
So why did you guys start this company? Obviously you're doing really great work and important work, but what made you start it and the story of you guys coming together? Because I think it's interesting.
Sure. Well, Jeff and I worked together at a previous company, and we actually didn't know each other that long, but we both kind of respected some of the things about that were unique about that person in that role. So one of the things that I admire about Jeff as a salesperson is that he's very in tune with the technology, and he doesn't sell things that don't exist, which can be a problem if you're the technology guy.
It's a good or an entrepreneur.
Right. And one of the things that I think Jeff had noticed about me was that when we were working together, I went with him on sales calls as the sales engineer. And so even though I'm the technology guy, I can get out in front of customers, and so
which is rare. We had this skill set
that was going to work well together. So mm-hmm. we started a software company that was just doing software consulting for biotech and healthcare, based on my background in biotechnology. And it's not scalable. I was the product. I don't scale. But we came across one customer that was an autism center that asked us to build a database for them. And Jeff was the one who actually noticed there's 3-ring binders everywhere. Mm. You don't just need a database. So
well, and we're both, you know, we're both at a point in life where we want to make sure that what we're doing counts, you know. And so whatever we can do to help kids with autism, I mean, we certainly get to go home every day feeling good about what we do as a company, because we know we're making an impact on these kids' lives.
Well, and why don't you talk about Nathan a little bit and about the center worked with?
It just happened that the center had actually helped a child that was in my Cub Scout den. And I got to see him, you know, 5 years on, where the kiddo is now able to participate in school. He's able to be in Cub Scouts.
So you watched his progress.
Well, I saw the end result of the progress. Yeah. But it turns out when he was 2 years old, he was totally non-communicative. So you couldn't talk to him. He couldn't talk to you. He was just in a shell. So I knew what this particular therapy center did worked, because now, you know, Nathan's essentially able to be part of society, where if he had stayed at the level he was at when he was two, that could never have happened. So I know what these guys do works. It's just a matter of how do we empower the therapists so that they can help more kids like mm-hmm. Nathan.
It's amazing. You guys were touching on, I think it's interesting, the co-founder dynamic. Mm-hmm. How important has that been to sort of have this yin-yang approach and to have a co-founder as you're building this new solution?
Well, I absolutely acknowledge that I could not have done this without Jeff. You know, I'm a technology guy. I love to build things. I think I build great things, but I don't know how to sell them. And I don't know how to build the business and acquire customers and go after investment. Yeah, and those are things that Jeff is excellent at. So I couldn't have done it without him. So I built the product. He made it. He built the company.
And I totally could have done it without Kelly. No, I mean, I wouldn't have had anything to sell without Kelly being on the background, building the software, and us being able to collaborate on what it needed to be. So his background that he brings from healthcare technology has been phenomenal for us and helped us really build what I believe is a really solid product for our industry.
So your first time as entrepreneurs?
Yeah. So we had the consulting company before this, but
as entrepreneurs building a scalable company,
yeah, exactly.
What's been your experience and kind of what's been some of the hardest parts of doing it?
So I was interviewed for a Missouri Entrepreneur a couple of years ago, and I don't remember all the adjectives I used, but most of them weren't positive. you know, it was it's frustrating, it's maddening, it's tiring, it's exhausting, it's rewarding, and it's the best thing I've ever done. Right. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, that would be probably the one word that sums it all up. And you know, we talked yesterday about, you know, not just building the company, but, you know, taking care of yourself so that you can be there to be part of the company. And you do have these highs and lows, but in the end, we feel good about what we do. And I think it was really interesting. So Jeff and I just met with a management coach who was kind of looking at us from a personality profile standpoint. How would we fit in a portfolio for an investor? And he made the comment, and Jeff and I, we kind of were interviewed individually. He had an idea of what he thought, how we would answer this question. And then we were both together, and he said, well, I imagine your company looks a lot different than you expected it to. And simultaneously, Jeff and I just said, no. It's taken a little longer to get here than we expected, yep. But we're doing exactly what we wanted to do. We have not wavered from our vision from the very beginning. We haven't had to pivot. We had a solid idea, and we're executing on it.
Yeah, the highs are high. Yep. The lows are low. You recently lost 65, 70 pounds?
Yes,
I did. Getting healthy. And how much did that change your ability to kind of roll with those punches and deal with the stress level of being an entrepreneur?
So, I mean, there's nothing better for working off some stress than going to the gym, you know, or running or just releasing some of that energy.
Congratulations
on that. And, yeah. You know, what I found was that it just sneaks up on you. And when I was building... I was building, and that was all I was doing. I was heads down, and then all this, it just kind of creeps up on you, and you don't pay attention to it. But I made a conscious decision. I saw a picture of myself at an event, and I just said, "How'd this happen? I don't want to be this." And I found though it's really easy to say, "I need to be building. I need to be delivering all the time." But what I found is that when I step back from that, take half an hour off, an hour off, when I come back to it, I can approach it with a clear mind.
Rejuvenated and refreshed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So,
and by the way, not to digress, but I thought it was fascinating how you talked about how this has impacted your whole family too, because other people have been a part of that effort with you.
Absolutely. I mean, You don't do this in a vacuum. I mean, because we talked about the highs and lows and the stress, and you bring that home, and you're working all the time, and you have to step back from that. You have to get the family involved. They have to go on the journey with you, sometimes grudgingly, but you know, ultimately, if they believe in what you're doing and they're proud of it, you know, that makes it gives you all the more reason for getting up and going to do it.
I mean, it's certainly not possible without the backing of an understandable spouse that's going to, you know, help out on the home front while you're out slaying dragons, you know, 50 plus, 60 plus hours a week.
Yeah.
What's been some of the hardest parts of doing this, or the biggest challenges?
You know, it's you take on a lot of responsibility. Getting employees, we're up to 9 employees now, and knowing that it's not just us, we're concerned about, you know, maintaining the paycheck, but we've got other people that we're maintaining a paycheck for. But, you know, the flip side of it, though, is, you know, Kelly and I have always had this philosophy that a rising tide lifts all ships. So we know that our employees are dedicated to the company, and so we're dedicated back to them, too, and we're vested in their futures as well. They all have a piece of the pie so that when good things do happen, everybody's going to be able to see that. And so, I mean, we've essentially built a great family there at the company and make sure they're all part of the deal.
So what's next for AB Pathfinder?
Well, I mean, everything we've talked about so far has essentially been phase 1 of the company. Of, you know, how do we work with therapy centers? How do we get them to try and relieve this burden that they have as far as the administrative tasks that they're working with? Phase 2 of what we're moving into here in the next year is really getting into, now that we have data on all these kids that are coming into play, now we can start to make an impact on autism research itself. So we have the ability to aggregate data from all the therapy centers we're working with, blind the information from a HIPAA compliance standpoint, so nobody, you know, there's no identification or anything like that. But we can now work with researchers that maybe before they only had access to about 40 kids. We can give them access to thousands of kids that are actually within our database.
How many kids are in the database right now?
So over 1,600 is where we're at right now. And, you know, in the not too distant future, by the end of the year, we'll be around 10,000. coming
That's
up.
That's rapid, rapid growth.
So if you think about the types of customers that I mentioned earlier, you know, independent BCBA with 15 kids, or even a center that may have 100 kids, you never have a statistically relevant population. Right. So our software is really streamlined and optimized for an individual's outcome, working with one child. But now we're one of the only repositories of statistically relevant numbers of autism outcome data and behavior outcomes. So, you know, we can actually start to do some interesting things and offer these data up either as packaged pieces of data or even as, you know, API or data as a service access.
So you see data being the big thing of phase two.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, an example of what we're doing actually tomorrow is we're working with a therapy center and a genetics company that has approached us. And this genetics company believes they've identified a specific marker for a type of autism, and we'll be able to perform research on kids that have the marker and kids that don't, and see if there's any divergence in the type of outcomes that they see, the type of behaviors they display. Ultimately, that could lead to a subtype of autism that would mean that you treat these kids differently than you do kids that don't have this marker. And by doing so, that will improve the outcomes for those kids. So it's that type of thing that we're trying to work on.
So when you think out like 10 years about how the world's different as a result of AB Pathfinder, what do you describe, or how would you describe it?
You know, the way that I look at it is, for a lot of these individuals with autism, they're often in a lifetime of therapy. If through the work that we can do with researchers, with genetics companies, with pharmaceutical companies, if we can maximize the therapy that they get early in life when it's the most most impactful upon their lives, and we can get them to the point where they can get into school, where they can get into society more, the more that we can condense the amount of time they actually have to be in intensive therapy, I think it's going to be better for everyone
Game
involved.
Changing. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, even from a research standpoint and kind of a public health standpoint, ultimately we're going to be impacting lives of individuals, and that's what we're after. We want to improve the quality of life for these individuals that have autism
and their families.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Fantastic.
This is great. Predictions on who's going to win the World Series tonight.
Absolutely, the Royals. We've got momentum. And
of course,
we're
this is going to air after this.
We'll see how good your prediction is.
Exactly. Right.
So one word close to describe how you're feeling today. 2 days of the past 2 days of the Healthcare Transformer Summit. We've just had a great couple of days out here in Cleveland.
Yep.
I'd love to know how you guys are feeling.
I used the word ready yesterday. Ready to go out and tackle what we need to tackle.
Yeah, I'm going to use a different word today. I'm just going to say challenged, because there's a lot still to be done. We're on a big mission, and there's a lot of work to do. But like Jeff said,
he's
we're ready.
He's ready. You're challenged. Good, great combination, guys. Real pleasure to spend time with you guys today and over the past couple of days. We love seeing you guys.
Thank
every
you
90
for
days.
Doing the work you're doing. I think it's going to help and helping a lot of people.
Very important.
Well,
thanks for having us
as a part of the Startup Health community.
Thank you. Well, thanks for joining us on today's episode of Startup Health Now. You can find this episode and all episodes at startuphealth.com/now. Jeff, Kelly, great having you guys today.
Thank you.
Take care. Thanks.
Cheers.